The world will never starve for want of wonders, but only for want of wonder. G.K. Chesterton, 1920.
I got a heart like Bethlehem on a silent night. There's no room at the inn for you to come inside. And I'm way too busy now, and it's much too late. If you'd been here earlier, maybe I could let you stay. You're only looking for a place to be born into life, where your power can heal and your love can revive. And I don't know why you chose to be born into me. And it's hard to believe and receive and let you in. 'Cause I got a heart like Bethlehem, and I hide it well. I keep my dirty barns behind my nice hotels. And you see my great facade, and you're not impressed. You tell your story in the manger of my weaknesses. You're only looking for a place to be born into life, where your power can heal and your love can revive. And I don't know why you chose to be born into me. And it's hard to believe and receive and let you in. 'Cause I got a heart like Bethlehem. Nobody knew us, and now when they hear our name, they think of Jesus. That little town of Bethlehem, it died that night and was born again. So when you're looking for a place to be born into life, where your power can heal and your love can revive, and I don't know why you choose to be born into me. And it's hard to believe and receive and let you in. I'll let you in. 'Cause I got a heart like Bethlehem.
Well, there you are, and welcome to Redemption's Table. I'm Robert Barge, your host. And here we are in the final week of Advent. We're 5 days out from Christmas Eve, 6 days out from Christmas Day. And if you tuned in to last week's episode, you know what that means. The celebration of Christmas begins in 6 days, and it continues on until January 6th. That's 18 more days of anticipation and celebration. We just heard a song by my good friend Ross King, Bethlehem. Bethlehem was originally released in 2010 on Ross's The Christmas Stories album. But in 2022, Ross recorded a new version of Bethlehem, and it became our theme song for every Christmas episode in 2022, and I wanted to bring it back again because it is such an insightful song. And I also want to pause and encourage us to do something. In the middle of October, Ross's wife, Stacy, was diagnosed with cancer. Stacy has already undergone surgery and is now in the midst of a difficult treatment journey. Would you join me in praying for Stacy, for Ross, and for their 4 children? Would you pray for her cancer to be healed and for a long life for Stacy as she continues to be a blessing to her family and to our Father's world? Would you please include the King family in your prayers? On Monday morning, I was driving to my office. I purposefully avoid the interstate so I can drive through a swamp, past a lake, over a river toll bridge, just to have the opportunity to be surprised daily by God's creation. And on my Monday morning commute, I noticed a large flock of small ducks on the lake as I drove past. I instantly had the urge to pull over, make a U-turn, until I remembered I did not have my binoculars with me. If I had had them, I would have been late to work on purpose that day, just to stop and witness the wonder I was passing by. My favorite G.K. Chesterton quote comes from a 1920 essay he wrote, Tremendous Trifles. I love this quote. Chesterton claims, "The world will never starve for want of wonders, but only for want of wonder." Chesterton's spot on. We are surrounded by wonders continually. The sky above is an ever-enchanting masterpiece. You've possibly heard me say we live on the edge of Eden. The glass darkly described in 1 Corinthians 13:12 is just beyond our outstretched grasp. That's how close heaven surrounds us. If you know and follow Jesus, you know the kingdom of God is already here and is still coming, both and in equal measure. And unless we're a hermit, we encounter people all the time who are walking around, talking around, image bearers of the one true God. Every person carries within them the Imago Dei, the image of God. I encourage parents of small children all the time to keep a diary of the profound wisdom that pours out of the little hearts and minds of kids. Every little baby takes us back to a Bethlehem barn. Every little child takes us back to a brave little Nazarene boy who was God and made himself nothing. Thanks for that lyric, Andrew Peterson. And because we are constantly surrounded by life, because we are all being rained upon by daily blessings of the good and perfect variety pouring into our lives from the Father Creator of heavenly lights, James 1:17, I am perplexed by how much we all attempt to rig our own deal, to run our own game when it comes to everyday living, but especially when it comes to the holidays. I think we all need to be reminded we can't manufacture our own wonder. Sure, we can prime the pump to set our hearts in the right direction to receive, but if you're looking for Christmas to be one or two specific things this year, if you're expecting something particular to happen in the next few days, and if it doesn't happen, you're going to be extremely disappointed, I can tell you right now, you've set yourself up. You see, there's a difference between expectancy and expectations. Expectancy sets our hearts on edge for something we know not what, but we know is about to happen because something is always about to happen. Expectations, on the other hand, define what we hope is coming. And if it doesn't come our way as we presuppose, we're going to not only be disappointed, but we're also going to miss the surprising wonder that does happen as we're busy looking the wrong way. Here's the thing. You can plan Christmas surprise for others, but you can't plan Christmas surprise for yourself. I ask you, has anything you ever planned for yourself turned out exactly as you expected? Or was it the unexpected delight that happened as a result that you treasure the most? You do have to be present to win. You do have to show up. And you should always be prepared for the delightful unexpected. On Thanksgiving Day, our family was gathered in my son's home. My 7-year-old granddaughter, Olivia, asked us all the question, "What are you thankful for?" and encouraged us to go around the circle to answer that question. And I loved the fact that that question came from her. That was joy number one. And every answer was great, but one stood out. My youngest grandson, Max, he's 2 years and 4 months old. When it came his turn, Max loudly whispered his one-word gratitude that blew us all away. Max said, "Life." Whoa, did not see that coming. I marvel at the depth of someone who has been here a mere 28 months. As you and I walk through the threshold from Advent to Christmas, May I encourage us all to put down our expectations, relax, and follow the bliss of what is about to unfold. Christmas spontaneity leads to Christmas serendipity. You can't plan surprise for yourself because we will miss the bliss if we seek to control the bliss. We miss Christmas as we seek to control Christmas. The surprise we need and where to find it will come only from the one whose birthday it is. When Jesus shared his most famous message on a hillside in Judea, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he began with 8 exclamations that tell us exactly where we can expect to find Christmas surprise and everyday bliss. I've spent the last couple of years trying to share with as many people who will listen how astounding and life-changing these 8 exclamations known as the Beatitudes are. If you are someone who follows Jesus or who wants to, these Beatitudes are his footsteps. If we want to find blessings and bliss, we would be wise to look in these 8 unusual places. In Matthew 5:3, Jesus said, "Oh, the bliss of the poor in spirit. Oh, the bliss of those who live dependently upon God for everything, including Christmas. Oh, the bliss of those who say, 'I need you, God,' for the greatest gift of the kingdom of God will belong to you. Oh, the bliss of the mourners. Oh, the bliss of those who live passionately for yourself and for others. For you will be comforted as Jesus comes along beside you and them to bind up our wounds and wine and dine us to restoration and redemption. Oh, the bliss of the meek. Oh, the bliss of those who live submissively before God, who have their heart surrendered to every word God speaks over them, because every step they take with that kind of heart lands on ground that is not only holy, but it now belongs to you for kingdom purposes. Oh, the bliss of those who hunger and thirst to be right with God. Oh, the bliss of those who live voraciously when it comes to feasting at God's table, because you'll rise from the celebration you shared in God's presence, stuffed to the gills and feeling portly. Oh, the bliss of the merciful. Oh, the bliss of those who live mercifully. Oh, the bliss of anyone who steps into another person's story to lavish the healing mercies of God upon their soul unconditionally, so that nail-pierced feet are welcome and bidden to step into your story at any given hour to meet you at your deepest point of need. Oh, the bliss of the pure in heart. Oh, the bliss of those who live specifically. Oh, the bliss of having our hearts and our footsteps so locked in on one thing, for then we will see the handiwork of God in the lives of others everywhere we go. Oh, the bliss of the peacemakers. Oh, the bliss of those who live redemptively. Oh, the bliss of standing on the crossbeam, extending peace to all sides. For it is there we most resemble the kind of children God would have. Oh, the bliss of the persecuted. Oh, the bliss of those who live uncommonly. Oh, the bliss of raising hope in some at the risk of catching hell from others. For it is there we can joyfully exclaim, "Merry Christmas, Jesus. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as perfectly in us as it is perfectly done in heaven." Wherever Christmas leads you this year, I encourage you, follow the bliss. Don't miss the real bliss of Christmas for the world's bling. Let the only star in your eyes be the star of Bethlehem. Those who follow that star get swallowed up in worship and exceeding great joy. Just look at the wise men. Well, thanks for sitting down at Redemption's table for a few moments. May you and your family have the most astounding Christmas. And may you and your kin never want of wonder. Until next time.
That little town of Bethlehem, you died that night and was born again. So when you're looking for a place to be born into life, where your power can heal and your love can revive, and I don't know why you choose to be born into me, and it's hard to believe and receive and let you in. I'll let you in, 'cause I got a heart like Bethlehem.